Have you ever been going through something really tough, feeling completely exposed, maybe totally misunderstood?
Yeah, it's a vulnerable place to be.
And then someone comes along, maybe meaning well, maybe not, but instead of just being there, they start trying to like explain your pain.
Or worse, hint at why it's happening, often with this undercurrent of judgment. It's such a common and often painful human experience.
Exactly. Where good intentions can just go completely sideways. Well, today we're doing a deep dive into some ancient wisdom, specifically a really powerful, maybe even surprising conversation from the Book of Job, chapter 18.
And this isn't just, an old story. It really digs into how we handle suffering, truth, and how we treat each other when things get hard.
So our mission today is to unpack this incredibly sharp response from Job's friend, Bildad the Shuhite. He started as a comforter, but things took a turn.
They really did. We want to pull out some crucial insights here about things like judgment, suffering, and how we use or maybe misuse what we think is true.
And what's amazing is how relevant these ancient words feel today, offering some pretty big lessons on compassion, trust, and maybe how we approach difficulty.
Definitely. So let's set the scene a bit. Job is in the midst of just unimaginable suffering.
Right, he's lost his family, his wealth, his health is gone, he's covered in painful sores. It's just awful.
And his friends, who first came just to sit with him, to comfort him in silence, well, that silence didn't last. Now they're deep into these heated arguments.
Yeah, trying to figure out why this happened, trying to make sense of it all. Which leads us to Bildad in chapter 18.
And his reaction is, well, immediate. And pretty intense. You can feel his frustration right away. He's clearly had enough of Job's complaints.
He basically tells him to shut up, right? How long will it be ere you make an end of words?
Exactly. It's not really a question, it's a demand. Like, stop talking so we can speak. It completely dismisses Job's pain.
And he seems personally offended too, doesn't he? He asks why Job counts them as beasts and is vile.
Yeah, you can practically hear the indignation. Like, how dare you not listen to our wisdom? And then, boom, he goes right for Job's anger.
That rhetorical question, it's searing. He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place?
It's such a powerful dismissal. Essentially, who do you think you are, Job? Does the universe revolve around your suffering? It just sets this incredibly harsh, accusatory tone for everything that follows.
Okay, so after challenging Job's attitude, Bildad then shifts, right? He launches into the main part of his speech.
He does. And it's this really vivid, almost terrifying description of what he believes is the inevitable fate of the wicked. He's not holding back at all.
He starts with that image of light being extinguished.
Yeah, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle. It's this immediate sense of total ruin, like being completely snuffed out. No hope, no future.
And then he just keeps adding layers to this grim picture.
He really does. He talks about them being caught by their own schemes. His own counsel shall cast him down, he says, like they walk right into their own traps.
He is cast into a net by his own feet. The jinn shall take him by the heel. It sounds like they're being hunted down by their own actions.
Exactly. And then the description gets even darker, moving into constant fear and physical decay.
Terrors shall make him afraid on every side. That sounds
But
exhausting.
debilitating. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, Bildad says, and destruction shall be ready at his side. He even mentions his skin and strength being devoured by the firstborn of death.
That phrase, firstborn of death, is chilling. What does that usually refer to?
It's often interpreted as like the deadliest kind of plague or disease, or
Yeah.
just the most final consuming form of death imaginable. It's a graphic picture of a slow, agonizing end.
And it's not just physical, is it? He talks about losing security, losing legacy.
Completely. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, his safe place, his home, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors.
The King of Terrors, another name for death itself.
That's the common understanding, yes. And even his home, his dwelling, becomes desolate. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. It implies total destruction, maybe even divine judgment.
Wow. Utter ruin.
But maybe the most crushing part is the complete erasure of memory. He says the wicked's roots shall be dried up, their branch cut off.
His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. Just gone.
Utterly forgotten. Driven from light into darkness with no descendants, neither son nor nephew. It's total annihilation, not just of the person, but any trace they ever existed.
So after painting this absolutely horrific picture, Bildad wraps it up.
He does, with a stark conclusion. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God.
And the sting is in the implication, right? He doesn't say, Job, this is you.
Exactly. But by laying out this detailed fate of the wicked and then saying, this is what happens to them, right after challenging Job, the accusation is incredibly strong. He's using general truths about justice as a weapon aimed directly at Job.
Okay, let's unpack this. Bildad delivers a truly terrifying message. And, you know, some parts about wickedness having consequences maybe are totally wrong in principle.
That's the tricky part. He describes the results of ignoring God or living wickedly, and yes, there are consequences in life. But this is where it gets really interesting for us today.
Right. What does this ancient, harsh conversation actually mean for us?
Well, what's fascinating and kind of heartbreaking is how Bildad takes truths, maybe even profound truths about justice, and just completely misapplies them. And that leads us to some really important insights.
Insights about how we handle suffering, maybe how we approach truth itself, and perhaps how understanding this can actually, well, deepen our own faith or trust.
Precisely. You said earlier it felt like he used truth like a weapon.
Yeah, it really did. Even if his points about consequences had some truth, though he delivered it.
That's the absolute core of the problem. The facts might hold some general truth, but the application in that specific moment to that specific person was devastatingly wrong.
So it's like knowing something true isn't the same as knowing the right way or the right time to use that truth.
Exactly. It's like having the right tool but using it for the wrong job, or worse, using it to hurt someone. Truth without context, without compassion, especially aimed at someone in pain, can be incredibly damaging. It's a huge reminder about wisdom and application.
So it's not just what we say, but how and when, especially when someone's hurting.
Absolutely. The context of suffering changes everything. Bildad likely thought he was defending God, upholding justice, but what he actually did was heap more pain onto an innocent man.
Which points to that danger of spiritual arrogance.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. When being right or proving our theological points becomes more important than showing compassion, we risk doing real harm. Thinking about this can actually encourage us toward more humility, a deeper wisdom.
And that feels so relevant now. That urge we sometimes feel to find a reason, to assume someone experiencing hardship must have done something to deserve it.
We need to resist that urge. It's crucial to remember that not all suffering is direct punishment. Sometimes it's just part of the complexity of life in a world that isn't always fair or predictable.
Realizing that doesn't necessarily make suffering easy, but maybe it helps us trust in something larger, even when things don't make immediate sense.
It can, yes. It encourages a kind of faith that holds space for mystery, for processes beyond our immediate grasp. Bildad sought judgment as immediate and obvious.
Like a simple cause and effect. You do bad, bad things happen to you instantly.
But life isn't usually that straightforward, is it? Justice, or just the way things unfold, often works on a much longer time scale than we expect or can see.
That's such an important point. Hold back on the snap judgments. Someone's life falling apart doesn't automatically mean they're morally bankrupt.
Right. External circumstances are not always a clear window into someone's heart or integrity. Understanding this encourages patience, both with others and maybe with our own understanding of how things work. For people of faith, it can foster a deeper trust in God's timing and wisdom, even when it's confusing.
And Bildad's whole tone. It lacked any humility, didn't it? Just pure certainty.
Total confidence in his harsh judgment. And this story powerfully shows that real wisdom often includes knowing when not to speak, or at least what not to assume.
Using truth like a tool, you said earlier, for building up, not tearing down.
Exactly. That perspective encourages a way of living that seeks to heal and understand rather than condemn. It fosters compassion.
Which really means putting empathy before explanation. Bildad jumps straight to correction.
He never seemed to pause and just feel Job's pain to try and understand his experience. He just wanted to fix his theology.
So for us, the lesson is maybe to lead with listening, to really try and stand in someone else's shoes before we offer our thoughts.
Yes. It's not about never speaking truth, but about speaking the right truth gently, appropriately, in a way that actually helps, not harms. When we manage that, we're not just comforting someone else. We're growing our own capacity for compassion and understanding. That kind of interaction strengthens our own humanity, our own values.
So it seems the biggest truth Bildad missed, despite all his strong words about consequences, was that suffering isn't always a simple equation of sin equals punishment.
He missed the complexity, the need for compassion. This deep dive into Job 18 is really a profound lesson in how we respond to pain, our own and others, and how we handle truth responsibly.
It challenges us to look beyond easy answers, maybe cultivate a deeper trust in things we don't fully understand, whether that's life's complexities or, for some, a higher power.
Well said. It pushes us toward a more mature, compassionate wisdom.
So, thinking about all this, what does this journey into Job 18 mean for you, our listener, as you encounter people facing really difficult times?
It really boils down to a question, doesn't it? When you see someone suffering, what's your first inclination? Is it to jump in with explanations, maybe even judgments? Or is it to first listen, to offer empathy, and just allow for the mystery and pain of their experience?
That's definitely a powerful thought to sit with. Until next time, keep diving deep.